Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Yes, welcome back into UAP. It's Stephen Diener back with you on the Unidentified Alien Podcast Weekly Edition. And it's part two, so you get a double dose of a weekly edition here for UAP because it is the conclusion of my interview with Ashton Forbes as we close the book together on the MH370 investigation for now. I have a feeling that the book will never fully be closed. There's always going to be some type of new piece of information or theory that comes out about what happened to Malaysian Airlines Flight 370, which today is the official 10th anniversary of the disappearance. So honestly, that is a coincidence. I know I always say, you know, I don't really believe in coincidence with a lot of things. This time it is a coincidence. I was not planning on interviewing Ashton, for the 10th anniversary of MH370. It really did just work out this way. Honestly, The date slipped my mind when him and I were talking about coming on together here for this interview. I messaged him later on the night before the interview and I said, hey, this kind of worked out. This is the 10th anniversary. And he's like, yeah, I know. You didn't realize that? I said, no, I didn't actually. It just, for whatever reason, didn't add up. But I guess something's happened for a reason. So here we are in the 10th anniversary, March 8th, 2024, of the disappearance, tragic disappearance, a mysterious disappearance of MH370. And what we go into here today to, have this conclusion to this conversation for part two, we talk about the video that came out a couple of months ago from a user on Twitter that said that he was able to show the videos that Ashton was using, showing the three orbs disappearing the plane. This user said that he was able to prove that video was fake. We get into that. Ashton explains all that, and it was really interesting to hear him give that explanation from then to now and what happened all in between. And then we get into, and you're actually going to hear my voice change during this episode because I have this realization, and I think I actually call it a revelation at one point during the episode, where the possibility, the question comes up that I've never thought of before. That is it possible this plane never disappeared? Is it possible that it was intentionally taken? This wasn't a rescue, that it was a kidnapping. So it's really interesting. I know that might sound a little far-fetched at first, but when you listen and you hear everything that's said, you might come to that same idea yourself. So a lot here in this second part of this conversation to the conclusion of my conversation with Ashton Forbes covering the disappearance of MH370. I'm going to jump right into the questioning. We'll pick up where we left off at the end of part one. Enjoy. I had two questions that came to mind while you were speaking. First one I want to get to is, one of them was revelation / question. The other one's a question. I want to get to the question first. What happens and what is your assessment now when the, I forget what user it was, the person's name, but they came out and they said they had debunked the video. I know you just went through all the reasons and all the different examples of why that couldn't be, but what was your reaction and how do you look at it now when that did come out and everyone was absolutely certain? There were videos going around on social media, on Twitter, of people saying Ashton's done, no more, they're burying you, everything, it's all done. Kim.com, who is a big following on social media, said he was going to pay out the bounty for someone who was able to crack the code and show how this was manipulated and hoaxed. Like everyone said, oh, okay, it's a hoax, it's done. But then not so much. So what happens between then and now that has continued this ball rolling to make us say, yeah, that thing that we thought they had it figured out didn't actually have it figured out?
Yeah, I think that was a crossroads at that moment in December, which was I could have stepped away from this cleanly if I wanted to. But the reality was I knew something was wrong about that in general. It never felt right. I woke up and have Kim.com calling me going, oh, I want to pay out this bounty. I think it's been debunked. You need a, you know, if you want to save face, you got to step away from this, you know, pressuring me, literally offering me a job, saying like, oh, here's my case from the government. I can pay you and you can help investigate this. Right. And I'm just going like, the whole thing seems super sketchy. Wow. We talked to this guy who is this person that the story, even the whole story doesn't make sense. Right. Like, and I'm a guy who's an investigator on a potentially the biggest conspiracy ever. So I got pressured into that. It's why I deleted it later on the next day. But it wasn't until we dug into it. Really what I wanted and what I should have done is waited and said, hang on, let's look into this a little bit more. Because the whole thing started to fall apart in about 24 hours. Now, it still did the damage that it was intended, which was to get people to stop looking at the case because it was getting way too many views. We were getting hundreds of millions of views. And that's how people know about it, right? Is that it was getting huge amounts of views. So if you just think of it through the lens that we've been looking at, this is a conspiracy no matter what. Even if those videos are fake, this plane didn't crash into the South Indian Ocean. So we know there's a conspiracy at play regarding MH370. Then the question is, what would you do to protect your conspiracy, to protect potentially hundreds of billions of dollars in lawsuits, potentially prison time for the rest of people's lives that were implicated in this? You know, this was an illegal act, maybe even an act of war, potentially. And the answer is they would definitely post a cloud picture on the internet, on the cloud somewhere. That's basically the least that they would do, right? It's not very difficult, especially if you're the ones who have the video, like you're the military, to simply turn that into or modify an existing picture to make it look like that, right? Mm. That is trivial compared to teleporting an airplane. So we talked to the person. So we found out the story of what happened with this cloud picture is that for some reason, every single one of the debunks that's out there come from like a day old, or in this case, I think it was a 6 day old Reddit account, which is already red flag number one. First of all, if anything comes from Reddit, you should immediately just be dismissed out of hand. Reddit is not a source of truthful information. And there is probably the biggest source of disinformation and misinformation on the entire planet. And especially when it's anonymous day old Reddit accounts that are claiming to have literally claimed that they were upset that I hurt the feelings of their corridor crew buddies, that within 20 minutes, they claim they found this cloud picture, which you have to like invert the clouds, resize them, move them around, et cetera. That somehow they looked at hundreds of thousands of pictures and went, oh, I found the cloud picture, everybody. First of all, that's the first red flag, especially if they said they did it in 20 minutes, right? That's not how that works. I was looking at the pictures. I couldn't even figure out which one was supposedly the right cloud picture. And I've probably looked at the videos more than anybody. So right off the bat, it's far more likely that someone was told exactly where they should go find this cloud picture. And that's exactly what the 6 day old Reddit account did to the picture taker. So why would anyone even get the picture taker involved? Right? Isn't that super weird? So they get the picture taker involved. They email the picture taker on a burner email account. And I have a record of this because we asked the picture taker. Yeah, people don't really know the true story of what happened with this. But once you do, you realize how ridiculously suspicious it is. They email the picture taker on a burner email account, which is like, I just thought you should know at proton.me or something like that, right? And they tell them, hey, we found this picture and it's, you know, this will debunk these videos. And, you know, and I'm paraphrasing because I haven't seen the exact email. I just listened to the person like reading off part of it to me that, oh, you should make this debunk video about it. And within an hour, the picture taker, the person that's not at all connected to anything, has never looked at this case or the videos, is making a debunk video on YouTube where now every single debunker that's out there is retweeting them to the point where I think their YouTube video got like 1 million views.
Wow.
Right. And they're all tap dancing on my grave and dancing and celebrating. Right. Right? You watched it.
Yep.
This is before I've even woken up yet.
Jeez.
Right. And I'm just going, and I talked to the guy and he won't even listen to the evidence. I'm like, hey man, I warned him and said, hey, you probably shouldn't get involved in this. Like, I don't know if you know what you're getting yourself into here. Have you looked at the evidence? Nope. Never looked at any evidence, but you're going to make a debunk video. You've never looked at any of the evidence, right? And he's already talking about how he thinks the hoax videos, which why is he calling them hoax videos? He's never been involved with it, right? That they might hurt the families and they're upsetting his wife. He literally told me this. the whole situation. Plus, he happens to just be a VFX expert himself. Not just a VFX expert himself, but people start sending me videos of him. And in one of them, he even talks about being a photo manipulation expert. And in another video is literally of him editing some clouds into a picture within like seconds. And I'm just going and looking at this like, okay, guys, like, I've already had enough. But then the real kicker was what we're in this meeting with Kim.com and this picture taker guy. Kim.com wants to offer him $10,000 in Bitcoin right then and there. He's like, give me your Bitcoin address. And for the record, I have all this recorded. I don't like to post it out there, but I do have it. And he says, no, I don't have a Bitcoin thing, blah, blah, blah. He says, okay, well, I need you to sign an affidavit if you can, because we have these conspiracy-minded people, and I want to make sure that you're willing to say that these pictures are legit or whatever. And he says, yeah, I'll do that, right? And then the next day, he's telling everybody that he's never agreed to an affidavit, that the information starts leaking out, right? And I'm sitting there going, is this guy serious right now? Like, I've literally got him on video saying that he would agree to it. And now he's saying he's going to turn down the money, and he doesn't want to blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, well, and I let him try to correct the record. I waited like all day. And when he finally didn't, I just post the clip of him saying that he would accept the affidavit and the money, right? And that's super suspicious, right? Everybody knows that's super suspicious. And then the last thing is that the forensic analysis, right? So he tells us, the picture taker, in this meeting that we're like, hey, Kim.com actually brings up like, hey, can we figure out who would have bought these pictures? Because the window of time is like 2 months. So how many people got these pictures, right? Because we can figure out who the person who's made the videos, theoretically. Oh, no, that might invade their privacy, blah, 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 which is kind of a weird response because we really just don't even need to know who exactly. Just tell me, like, you know, how many people got them, right? And also, by the way, the picture taker knows the website owner as well. They're like good friends. So pretty odd. But then he says, oh, well, pirates used to pirate the pictures from this old website, because the website changed in 2014 after MH370 disappeared from an old website. And I go, wow, that's a great idea. We should go look for the torrents of the old website. So we do. We go dig around. We find at least 2 different torrents from the old website that have all the pictures in the entire website. The pictures don't exist in either of the torrents. And when you look at the Wayback Machine, the oldest Wayback Machine snapshot is 2016 of these pictures, which is actually coincidentally aligns with when Lieutenant Commander Edward C. Lynn was arrested and tried, the person that we think was the potential leaker of the videos. There's more. We do a reverse image search on the pictures. They don't go back to the website. The other pictures in the set, the ones that don't have the clouds in them, do go back to the website. And even now, if you do a reverse image search, they go back to like Reddit and the other places where people have been posting them, but they don't go back to the website. Wow. Then we had forensic analysis people that start pinging me going, this is sketchy, blah, blah, blah. And this is the part where I have to say this is speculative, in my opinion. Like, I don't know these people's credentials and what have you, but there's people that are adamant that these pictures were fabricated. They've even found another picture of Mount Fuji on Flickr that is from the exact same angle with the exact same shadows on it as the Mount Fuji and the supposed cloud picture. Now, why is this important? Because it presents the idea that this could be a composite, right? That they used a picture of Mount Fuji, pulled the pictures from the satellite video and made this composite, potentially using AI. The raw file thing means literally nothing. The file type can be converted easily. People were able to upscale images in under 1 minute using AI tools. So all of this analysis, to me, cast more than enough doubt on the scenario around the cloud picture, which I, in my gut as well, the gut feeling was that, like, it made me kind of sick to even think about, because it didn't feel accurate, you know? And the last thing I'll say is that this is how disinformation also works, right? They never, ever address your arguments and your evidence. Never, ever. That's not what they do. What they do is they talk past you. They try to find other things that they can make up, that they can cherry pick to discount everything that you're saying. And that's what's happened time and time again with the debunks on these videos. The Pyromania VFX doesn't match. It's so laughably different that it was sad to me that people even believed it to begin with. And this goes back to even in August 18th when it first appeared. I didn't think people were that dumb that they would go, oh yeah, this explosion effect is exactly what's in our MH370 videos, where it's not even the same type of effect, not even the same color or anything. And everybody just rationalizes it away as, well, they would have just changed every aspect of the VFX. It's like, But okay, show me one movie or TV show where they did that. This VFX gets used in Starship Troopers. They don't turn it into a black implosion effect, or, you know, they just literally copy and paste it because that's how VFX really works. And you have people adamantly arguing, you don't know how VFX works. You don't know how it works, but they can't answer basic questions, right? And then the cloud debunk situation as well. The same stuff where, oh, we recreated it. The people, like, I hate to be rude, but the people that recreated the videos did a terrible job. It's not even remotely close. Like, they use the asset that they say matches from some obscure like package download that's like $100 to $150, and then it doesn't even match. And then they go, well, they try to argue with me, well, why doesn't it match? Well, because you used a text, you used some kind of asset. We're looking at a real video, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's I don't know. You know, and I give credit to the debunkers. You know, they're trying their hardest, but it's clear that they are not convinced and by their own debunks, because they never walked away, right? They just kept at it. Like, these same people in like the debunker subreddit, they never went away. They're still there trying to convince everybody that it's fake, right? And to me, that just adds more credit to the story. Because if something's fake, you're not going to spend this much time on it. You're just going to go about your day and do something else, right? I don't worry about trying to, you know, convince people of their beliefs are wrong. It just doesn't have any impact on me. So hopefully that answers the saga around that. And, you know, that's why I continue to move forward. But at the end of the day, like I said, I've seen the landscape of the situation, what we're up against here, people that can literally have the whole media just lie to people and people just will accept it. And that's what tells me that we're consciously not ready for this. We're probably not ready for disclosure at all, honestly. And it's going to take probably many more years. Might not even happen in our lifetimes. I don't really know. But I do hope that one day when people have risen their level of collective consciousness, started to learn to think critically and think for themselves, that they'll look back at these videos. They're not my videos. If anyone's videos, they should be Lieutenant Commander Edward C. Lynn's videos. He should be the one who should be the hero out of all this. That they look back and they go, yeah, that's what happened to the plane. The United States government took this plane. Like, that's clearly the most plausible explanation, uses the most evidence by far. And the cover-up wasn't even that good. Could have been way better, in my opinion.
So that was really fascinating, Ashton. Was that explanation you gave on that debunk, because that was kind of a, you know, it was a big deal. Everybody thought, okay, yeah, this is done. We have it figured out. Then it kind of fell off. And like you said, you continue to investigate it. Have you given that explanation before? Have you told that story? Because I hadn't heard.
Yeah, that really. You know, that's the sad part too, right? Is that the lies spread a lot faster than the truth do.
Right.
So the whole point was they spread that lie as hard and fast as they could. And then I've done the cloud, several posts, cloud rebunk posts. I think I even made a short explainer video on this as well. I didn't include all the stuff about Kim.com because I'm still not really sure if I can trust him. I don't trust him. You know, I know as a statement of fact, what I can say is that he told me, that his funds due to the lawsuit against Mega Upload, which was the website that he has a big copyright case, that they basically stole all his money. They seized all his money and they give it back to him like an allowance, like you would give a kid an allowance, right? Mm. Now, what I would say from that front is I don't know whether or not I can trust him, but I do know that somebody's got all their money tied up in the U.S. government and they're doling it out to them is easily controlled for sure. And it was really weird that he wanted to pay out somebody that didn't meet the criteria, because the criteria was always for the hoaxer to come forward and to bring the source files of the videos. That was never met. Nobody ever met the criteria, right? Instead, he wanted to pay some guy that was told that he took these pictures by another burner account and that made a debunk video showing that these clouds match in the pictures, even though we had already shown that the clouds are moving and evolving naturally and that the first orb punctures a hole through the clouds, and that to have two videos, you would need to create a full 3D rendered environment, not just use a 2D picture. Like, you just start to think about it and the whole thing falls apart. But yeah, not a lot of people know that. And the reality at this point is I just don't care that much what people believe or don't believe, you know. If people don't want to believe the videos are real, that's fine. If they want to believe that it was some kind of pilot suicide scenario where the guy is going to the closest airport to not to land, but to say goodbye to his hometown. And then he's avoiding radar in a way that's not how you avoid radar. And that he decides he's going to go on an 8-hour joyride in the South Indian Ocean instead of just crashing the plane at any given moment in time. Then I'll let those people believe that. Just doesn't matter. I can't force people. Right. So, sure. Yeah.
The revelation I had, as you were talking a little bit earlier, when it came to the scenario, the whys, right? That was one of the questions we asked, I think, on our previous conversation. Why would this plane be taken, saved, kidnapped, whatever you want to say, teleported? Why this plane? Is it because someone was on it? And what I had never thought of before, until you mentioned it a few minutes ago, and this is why, I honestly don't say this very often, I kind of got chills when I got this realization as you were speaking, that we could be looking at a scenario where we've been asking the wrong question of why would they take this plane, rather than they were targeting this plane. This wasn't something that they said, they saw on radar and said, hey, look, this plane needs help, let's go see. No, this was a plan. Yeah. This was a plan to take this plane because of who was on it. So why were these people so special? Is it because of the knowledge that they had of superconductivity? And they, like you said, they were going to defect to China and they were targeted, the U.S. government, knowing that these people were going to be on this plane. So they had to come up with a story. Essentially, the end game was always the end game. This wasn't an accident. This wasn't a rescue operation. This was, yeah, we're taking you.
Yeah, that's the scary part. And this is where you can tell, this is why I like having done so many podcasts, because you can tell my state of mind in terms of where I thought the investigation was leading, from the conclusion perspective over time. Where now, I think the thing that changed was in early January, where the Diego Garcia whistleblower, a letter to Ashton Forbes YouTube video appeared on a like burner YouTube account using what I think is pretty advanced AI voice. Sending a letter. It's an 11-minute long letter. This is not a short letter, right? And it argues that this is somebody who's been in the game, that they know about this stuff. It encourages me, but also admonishes me for talking about silly stuff like Miami aliens on my Twitter account. It sends me on kind of an adventure to try to figure out who Randall Carlson and Malcolm Bendel were. Through the Joe Rogan appearance they did, which I didn't know who either of them were before this. But the bigger, most important part is it talks about that all the world's problems happen for political reasons. And the whole listening to this video as many times as I've listened to it, which is over 40 times, has actually started to change my perception of what could have happened. I was previously talking about this rescue operation. A lot of people went, no, it doesn't really make a lot of sense, right? And just like you said, I think I had the same chills where I went, man, espionage. Like, this is what I've been talking about way back in like September, is this a UFO event or is this espionage? And then I moved away from the UFO event, but went to this rescue operation narrative. And now I'm going back going, oh man, it really is espionage. Like, you need to have this stuff planned out ahead of time. It went too well in order to have just pulled this off within 1 hour after the plane goes missing, right? The drone needs to intercept the plane. The drone has to be close enough to intercept the plane at that location. You need your orb assets in the area. The Cope Tiger exercises were going on right there between the United States and Thailand, basically right where the plane disappears. That China supposedly had some information, some leverage over the 8 Chinese free-scale semiconductor scientists. And I don't know that it was necessarily about superconductivity. I think that it's just about the technology in general, right? Because whoever controls this technology controls the world. The letter even argues that the United States government knew about this in December, and they hatched this plan. Takes 3 months to hatch the plan. They knew that all these people would get on the plane, the connecting flights in Kuala Lumpur, which actually also makes sense, because most likely these people weren't all coming from the same spot in the United States. Like, they were flying from different locations. They get to Kuala Lumpur. That's your connecting flight to Beijing. And they even mentioned that like they knew what their connecting flight was in this letter, and a lot of other details that I've never brought up. Now, maybe some of this disinformation, I still don't know what to think about the letter, honestly. It even argues that they received the plane at 1856 UTC, which is a time that I don't know. Nobody's ever made up. Nobody's ever brought up or anything like that. And it argues that they like orbed the plane, or however they phrase it, 2 hours and 13 minutes after it took off. And if you go based on the pushback time of the plane, which is 1630 UTC, and add 2 hours and 13 minutes, you get 1843 UTC, which is not just 3 minutes within the time where we've pinpointed the videos happening based on Catherine T's sighting and the location and everything else, but that's also the exact time that the Chinese only reported Mayday call, which was at 2:43 a.m., according to the Chinese news, states that the plane was disintegrating and attempting emergency landing. If you convert that to UTC time, assuming that it's Malaysian time, you get 1843 UTC. So this is all like, we're talking about a 5-minute window of when we think these videos are happening. That's how much we pinpointed this. Can you imagine if you're doing a murder case and you're like, I've got 2 videos of the murder. I've got 19 witnesses. I can pinpoint the time within 5 minutes, right? Like that's more than enough evidence to convict anybody, right? And yet people just ignore it. So if you're interested, I highly suggest if that gives you chills, because it gives me chills at the end, near the end. It says something like, hey, Ashton, impressive. It tells me to keep looking into it. And then it says, you know, something like, I'm going to be paraphrasing here, but like, how do you stop somebody that has complete, ultimate power, that has complete control over the media, that can craft a narrative of events and have the whole world eating out of the palm of their hands? And it says, like, after a lifetime in the service, I think I've figured out the way. You talk about them and you don't stop talking. And that, even still, when I think about it, gives me chills. Because when you think about the whole saga, start to finish, the debunks, the evidence that we found, that's what I realized, is that there's no way to defeat these people. They're too powerful. The covert administrative elite, the CIA, NSA, the people that really run the country, they have ultimate power. They control all the media. They tell the media what to report on, what not to report on, how to report on it. And everybody believes it, right? No questions asked. And it's super easy to hide this stuff, hide this information, because it's like the Matrix, where the people are so inundated by the system that they will hopelessly fight to keep the status quo, right? The people that aren't awake, the people that are on the blue pill. Mm-hmm. That's exactly how it works, right? To the point where you can't even get the information out, you know? And when you realize that, this was never a situation where the media was going to pick up on this and I was going to become some type of famous person. This was always a situation where the best that could be done is slowly waking people up to the possibility that these videos could be real, the possibility this technology could be real. And that makes me wonder about UFOlogy and the UFO celebrities. Do they know? Do they know as well? And is this all just a big game where it's a matter of like, trying to get people acclimated to the idea of this stuff to the point where it reaches a tipping point and now everybody goes, oh, okay, of course aliens are real. Go ahead and wheel out the bodies or whatever, right? I don't know.
That's a fascinating thought. Again, it really is kind of mind-blowing in a way to think that this, maybe for almost 10 years now, we've been thinking about this all wrong, and that there was an accident, that maybe this was a rescue operation. Assuming the videos are real, if you're in the camp of saying that the videos are real, showing these orbs teleporting the plane, then, you know, this was something that some, you know, government, assume the U.S. government was trying to help in a situation. But to think of it in that terms where this was the plan, that, I mean, I hate to say this, but it makes sense.
Well, that's what's scary about it, right? Because I didn't want to believe it either. I don't want to believe that our government is like the baddies, right? As they would say, is like, are we the baddies? Like, what, right. You know, and I just didn't really want to think about it. But the more I kept thinking of that letter, and I'm going, man, this makes way more sense. Honestly, this is why there's this Russian GRU, which is the equivalent of the FBI, report that drops, and people are like, oh, this is disinformation, but it's talking about the Navy Americans took the plane. The Russian doesn't know why. China was planning on diverting the plane themselves. And so you just add it all up and you're like, this all adds up to an espionage scenario. This would have to be planned. You know, the cover up makes sense because you can't release this technology. Whoever controls this technology controls the whole world. It even starts to make sense from the UFOlogy perspective on why are we hiding all this? Because the implications are that huge. I've got clips of Jeremy Corbell and other people going, this is a weapon. You know, this is a weapon. And it is. This is a weapon. Right. This is not just green energy, free energy for everybody. You know, even Kim.com, who, you know, I'll rip on him a little bit, because during the Stephen Greer interview, which was after this, which is where Stephen Greer was on a space. I asked him a question. I always ask about doomsday weapons. But Kim.com is like, oh, well, why won't the aliens just give us the cure for cancer? Right. Put it on the blockchain. Right. And it just shows how some people think about this stuff so myopically. Right. He's looking at the trees and not seeing the forest. It's Pandora's box. The moment you open this up, it's not just here, have some cure for cancer. No, it's like, you want the medical healing? Great. You're also getting the doomsday weapons, and not just you getting the doomsday weapons, but the whole world. The moment we understand unified field theory and we are able to unify quantum mechanics, quantum field theory with general relativity, everything's coming out. You're going to get the advanced healing, the force fields, the orbs, the cloaking. You're going to get the free energy, but you're also going to get the doomsday weapons. And how do we then stop, let's say, a terrorist organization or even North Korea from destroying the entire planet? They don't even have to aim it at us. They just have to aim it down, right? Mm-hmm. How do you stop that? That's the key, right? So for the people out there that would just, I think there's a lot of people that want to have a comfortable answer with what the UFOlogy alien thing and craft's all about. I always realize it's going to be something much darker and different than what we would expect and hope. And that's exactly where this investigation and those videos lead us. Something much darker.
It's startling. Before we head out here today, because man, this was really interesting. I want to ask you, so as you move on, as you kind of move away from the MH370 investigation, you kind of start to close the book on that a little bit. What are you going to be getting into? What can people expect to see? Some new investigations, some new posts on Twitter and things like that coming from Ashton Forbes. What are some of the things that are kind of piquing your interest? Where now you're really going to be digging into that now?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, this is a big question that everybody asks me. And, the truth is, I don't think we'll ever get another investigation that was quite like this. This was a little bit of a perfect storm, right? A plane that's been missing for 10 years, extremely suspicious circumstances, more evidence ever than I could have ever expected or hoped for to find uncovering it. Plus, you have the whole aspect of advanced technology and intertwining between conspiracy and UFOlogy. I mean, I think that it's probably one of the greatest stories ever in the history of the world, potentially. And I think it, as time goes on, it will get more and more validated, which will make it even more of an incredible story. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's that type of thing where we can try to live up to those expectations. Sure. I also think that to some degree, I want to take a little bit of a break from that, right? I'm just a normal guy. I've always been a normal guy. I never asked for any of this stuff, although I did do all these podcasts to potentially help get, the answers for the world and for the families. But I'll probably take a little bit of a step back. I'm going to just go back to being a normal person for just a little bit at least. But there are stuff that there's other stuff that's hidden out there, right? If you see, I post a lot about room temperature superconductivity, LK99. There was a big conference yesterday. I believe it was in Minneapolis where they had these people came up and they showed more videos of Messner effect and floating rocks and stuff like this. And the interest for me is the technology and learning electrical engineering, because that's where I think the answers are. But there's more conspiratorial stuff out there. For example, NASA is right in my crosshairs, because there's no way that all this stuff can be real. NASA doesn't know about it, right? Mm-hmm. They're the ones who've got all these satellites out there. They're looking at stuff in outer space. They definitely know. And it's a situation where I don't think everybody in NASA knows, but the overall body has much more information than they want. So there's little things where we might try to expose them. But the bigger thing is just being ready, right? We see them now. We see the disinformation. We see how they hide this stuff, and they will mess up again, right? Somebody will leak something. And when that comes out, we have to pounce on it and just jump on it. Don't let them hide it. Don't let them suppress it. Don't let them use their little debunk disinformation attempts, and make sure that stuff gets known. And then I think that also puts the debunkers in the crosshairs as well, right? So yesterday, somebody sent me a list of these fellows at some skeptical institute or something like that. And it's a who's who of scumbag debunkers, right? Oh. I mean, you've got Mick West on this list. You've got Susan Gebrick, whatever her name is, Gebrick, I don't even know. You've got Neil deGrasse Tyson on here, Bill Nye, the science guy on this list. These are people that are sowing disinformation across not just social media, but regular platforms, trying to convince people that nothing can be special in the world. Right. I'll be taking a very hard look at any of those people on that list for sure. And following the money, because I think that if we can show that these people are being paid to some degree, even indirectly, it can help to expose how some of this stuff is kept hidden.
I've always been told if you have questions, follow the money. So I think that exactly. is a smart thing to do. So as we wrap up here, Ashton, because honestly, I could probably go another hour with you, but I'll wrap up here today.
Well, we can talk again another time as well. Maybe it doesn't have to be all about MH370. We'll see what comes up next. I am, I guess, a figure at least in this UFO community that's out there. But what I want to do is I want to push the conversation forward, right? Exactly. Not just about how many different species of aliens are visiting us, right? Or what's happening in the next UAP hearings. I want to dig into what are the third-party contractors hiding from us? and what are the real implications of this technology? Is this the reason why the great filter exists, the Fermi paradox, like why we don't see other civilizations? Are we actually at risk of wiping out our whole civilization? Because when people start to ask and answer and think about those hard questions, I think that that's how we get closer to real disclosure.
No, I think you're 100% correct. And that topic of conversation really interests me as well, because I think it kind of goes hand in hand a little bit, right? All these different things, and one thing leads to another. So I absolutely would look forward to having those conversations with you, because that's really important stuff. I've spoken about, like, with Michael Herrera and DC Long and people like that who are kind of on that side of things as well. But before we finish up,
yeah,
just to kind of put a period on this, I guess, you know, conversation on the MH370, I guess, investigation, and not to say that, you know, you may not come back to some things here and there, but as you wrap things up on that and you start to, you know, get interested in other things like we talked about, or just start to slow things down in general a little bit too, mm-hmm. What is your final conclusion? If you had to sit down right now and write out a paper, what would Ashton Forbes say? After 6 months of investigation, after speaking to this person, watching this video, doing this investigation, everything all combined, what is the final conclusion on MH370, especially as we approach now the 10th anniversary of its disappearance?
Yeah, we have surveillance apparatus over the entire world, as well as in the oceans. The United States government knows exactly what happened in this plane. No doubt, we've 100% proven that. My opinion is that the United States government took this plane. We took it. Probably flew it to Diego Garcia, used this advanced teleportation technology, potentially as a show of force for China, because of the people on board, the intellectual property on board. It's much more valuable than money or assets or objects. And that's what I think really happened to this plane. We covered it up. We got the governments that were involved, like Malaysia, Australia, et cetera, the right people to say the right things and convince the world of a lie. And that's what really happened to MH370. One thing I would ask you as well, just because you're a podcaster and you talk to people, is ask people about this type of technology, right? Do they think that it can be real, especially people who are in the know? I think that the more people you ask about anti-gravitational technology, orbs that are potentially our orbs, not from another solar system, not from another galaxy, and ask them about teleportation, and maybe don't use that term because it's really superluminal speeds. It's Star Trek warp drive, not Star Trek teleportation, right? We call it macroscopic phase conjugation. And I think that if you as a podcaster can ask those questions of people, you can help push the conversation forward where we can get this information out. I think you have a lot more people than you expect going, oh yeah, we have that kind of technology kept hidden, right?
For sure. I will definitely start to keep that in mind, because that's the next level. Those are the things that, you know, we have to start to really dig into, of course, along with, you know, some of the stories and the questions and, you know, sightings again, because I think it all goes hand in hand. One dot connects to the other. But that is the end game, I think. And that those are some of the things that we really do need to start putting together and start to make sense on. Really fascinating stuff, Ash. I really appreciate your time here today to do this. And like you said, I hope we can do it again and pick up some of the aspects of this conversation in the future.
Yeah. One last thing I want to say too, is just that I don't have any enemies in this UFO community. I think that both sides seem to hate me pretty well, but like you just said, there is one thing leads to the other, right? Is that you can say that, okay, if aliens exist and they fly here in these UFO craft, that then there must be advanced technology. But you can also say the reverse. If we can figure out the advanced technology, now it becomes much more plausible. If we can move faster than the speed of light, now beings can get here from any number of solar systems or any number of galaxies, right? So I think that one always leads to the other. And my view is I'm going to look at it the opposite way. So the people that want there to be aliens to visit us, I'm on your side as well. The people that also want to even debunk stuff that they think is fake, you know what? I'm on your side as well as that. But the reality is there is something more magical to this world. It doesn't mean that everything is true and everything's a conspiracy, but it does mean that we can prove that there's advanced technology. So thanks, Stephen. I appreciate the time, man.
No, absolutely. Thanks again for coming on here today. Ashton Forbes, UAP Unidentified Alien Podcast Weekly Edition. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
Thanks. And there we have it. We have closed the book for now on the MH370 discussion with Ashton Forbes. I'm sure as things come up, like I said in the beginning, any new theories or even details that come up with it, I'm sure we'll be talking about it. But, you know, as you heard Ashton say, he's done with it for now. He's moving on, wants to try to get into some other aspects of just, you know, the entire UAP discussion or advanced technologies and things like that. So we will be talking to Ashton again for sure. You know, when that time comes, I'll let you know. But the discussion may involve something other than MH370. In fact, it looks like it would be that way, which is fine, which is why I said, you know, this one was kind of closing the book on it for now in this iteration of what has been discussed. Also worth noting, one thing I was going to say to Ashton there before we were done, and I actually ended up saying this to him off air, but I wanted to say it here as well, is that it feels like MH370 is just the beginning. What I mean by that, it's that it's kind of like the start of discovery, because if the videos are real, right? And I know, you know, third time I've spoken to Ashton here on the show, it's extremely compelling to me. It always has been. When you watch the video, you almost can't believe your eyes. You say to yourself, your eyes are telling you and your brain is telling you this can't be real because I've never seen anything like it. So therefore, I must believe this does not exist because no one has told me that it does exist. I've never seen it. So it's literally unbelievable. But when you hear about all these things and you hear the compelling arguments that Ashton makes, you can't help but to at least move in the direction, at least in my opinion, that maybe we are actually looking at something here that is indeed real. And this is advanced technology that has been used by the U.S. government. So if that's the case, okay, working under that assumption, then in my view, and Ashton agreed with me again when we spoke about this off the air, is that this is just the beginning of discovery. We've seen this. This is the first time that we're seeing advanced technology being used by the U.S. government, caught on camera by a drone for the world to see through these videos that were leaked. And if that's the case, if this is our first glimpse at essentially the future of what advanced technology looks like, then it really is opening up Pandora's box. What else is in there? What else haven't we seen that is unbelievable to us once we do see it? Our minds can only imagine. So that's why I say when I look at MH370, when we have that discussion and we talk about the possible technology being used there, it feels like it really is just the beginning of discovering what we're capable of and what we already have. And it's that's a little jarring. That thought is a little startling, but it's also exciting at the same time, because that's why I do this in the first place. That's what led me to do UAP in the first place, is that itch, that question, that feeling in the pit of my stomach of just questioning what else is happening, what is out there, and what does it all mean? Where does it all come from? Just all those questions. And really, that is kind of the crux of it. When you look at something like this, it just boils up that intrigue. The intrigue boils up in your belly and you're like, I have to know more. So maybe this is just the beginning. Who knows? But that will do it for now on this edition of UAP. I really hope you enjoyed this two-part discussion and it, you know, made you think a little bit. I know I was absolutely blown away personally when we did this interview, just because of everything that was spoken about. I was like, oh my gosh, which is why I had to split it up into two parts. It was a lot to put out all at once. So hopefully you enjoyed it, and hopefully you come back for more once I'm able to put out more shows, more episodes. I will be writing new episodes soon. Episode 78 has been in the works for about 3 months now, at least in my head. So hopefully I can actually sit down and write that soon and get out episode 78 of the traditional UAP. And that will be hopefully, like I said, soon. But until then, of course, you know that I will try to keep you updated as best I can on everything going on UAP-wise. Follow along social media, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, all that good stuff, at UA Podcast 850 is where you can find me. If you have anything to say, you want to follow along, get all the updates that I put out, it's at UA Podcast 850, and email sdienerUAP. That's sdienerUAP at gmail.com. If you'd like to send a personal message there, I do reply to everyone. It takes me a little longer than I like, but I do reply to everyone. So if you have something you want to say in a personal message there through email, please feel free to do that as well. But until next time, Stephen Diener here on UAP, the Unidentified Alien Podcast. I truly cannot wait to come back with more for you. There's so much on my plate that I want to get out to you. So I'll keep you updated on when all that is happening. Until then, thank you so very much for following along. And I'll speak to you again soon. Have a good one. Thanks.